Welcome back to the attack. We put the phones on hold here for a couple of minutes. And we're joined by Olympic gold medalist live from Sochi, Christy Yamaguchi, who joins us here in the attack. Good morning, Christy. Bob Black, Joe Spano. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning. Yes, great to talk to you.
Yeah, not morning in Sochi, but nice to have you on board with us. I guess the first question is, how are your hotel accommodations? How are you doing over there?
I'm actually doing fine. I think I probably lucked out, and my accommodations are just fine, and I can't complain.
All right. Very good to have you with us. The Olympics really premiered yesterday with a brand-new competition, and the team figure skating. First of all, what do you think of that inclusion as an event, and then talk to us a little bit about the performances.
I think it's a great way to add another medal opportunity to figure skating, and you know, it's nice to have an inclusive team competition where you really do root for each country. So, you know, the U.S. Only has two competitors who have gone so far, Jeremy Abbott for the men and Marissa Castelli and Simon Schnapier for the pairs. And currently we are in the seventh place position, but we still have a lot of competition to go. So we're hoping the U.S. team gets up there in, you know, possibly contention for a medal.
Well, now we've talked about the team competition in figure skating. There are some of the other events that we've seen in past Olympics. There's ice dancing, there's the pairs, and there's the men and the women. Give us some skaters we should be watching out for and who might medal not only in this team event, perhaps, if we make a nice comeback, but in the men's, the women's, the pairs, and the dancing even.
Absolutely. Well, for the U.S., the team is led by a veteran dance team, Merrill Davis and Charlie White, and they are our brightest hope for a gold medal. They're current world champions, and their biggest competition does come from the Canadian team, Tessa and Scott, who are the Olympic champions from the 2010 Games. So it'll be a showdown between those two teams once again. But I'm giving the edge to Davis and White, and you know, obviously behind Team USA. In the ladies' event, Gracie Gold, our U.S. champion, definitely has a chance at medaling as well. So, you know, big hopes behind those two.
Christy, success in ice dancing a little new for us in the good old U.S. of A. You know, we've had our share of success in the women's singles, the men's singles, and even the pairs. Ice dancing's never been in an event that we've really excelled in until recent vintage. So talk about that evolution for the good old U.S. of A.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, it's a very exciting time for ice dancing, especially in the United States. We have actually two other teams representing here, Evan Bates and Madison Chalk and the Shivitani brother and sister team. And you know, they all, the Shivitanis actually are world bronze medalists. And, you know, Bates and Chalk have a chance, you know, slim chance to jump on the podium as well. So it's, like you said, non-traditional for the U.S. to be so strong in ice dancing, but it's really great to see that discipline in our sport grow and become so dominant.
Christy, before we get to the Always Dream Foundation, here in the attack, we don't sugarcoat things, and we talk about the bad as well as the good. Were you a little bit surprised at the lack of audience that was there for the competition last night?
No, actually, it was not so bad. I think, you know, unfortunately, the seats that are so close down to the ice are typically like the Olympic family and the sponsor seats, so and press seats. So I don't know for some reason why they weren't so full, but where the audience seats were, it actually was pretty full, especially up top. So you know, it's early in the competition phase of skating, and I'm sure as it gets moving on, especially towards the finals, it'll be pretty packed.
All right. Well, that's encouraging because, you know, watching it on television, you know, Bob and I both commented, watched it separately, but we had some real reservations and we know Sochi's not necessarily an easy place to get to. And there's been, you know, thus far a variety and a myriad of issues and things to be concerned about. So we usually figure that figure skating, which is the marquee event, the Winter Olympics, would draw great. And we weren't encouraged by what we saw. You're painting a bit of a different picture.
I think so. I think because, you know, we did see a pretty full and robust crowd, you know, especially in the paid seats, I guess you can say. So, you know, I think, like I said, it's early, and I think it'll continue on to get better.
No question about it. Let's talk about the Always Dream Foundation. This is something you founded after the Winter Olympics in 1992, and you worked with and continue to work with disadvantaged children and a struggling mom or dad. And this is something that wasn't a surface thing for you. You've been doing it since 92. Talk about that a little bit for us, please.
Yes, actually, it's 18 years old now, and it's you know, been a passion of mine, and I love being able to give back, and also excited to be a part of Team Kellogg's, which is here with some of the athletes and sharing 2 million breakfasts for kids in need. So a lot of great things going on with the Great Starts program, and unfortunately, I'm going to have to run because we have some other interviews lined up. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's perfectly fine. Okay. Thank you for getting the word out for us, and we'll send people to the Always Dream Foundation. We appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
That was Christy Yamaguchi joining us here on the Spano and Black Attack. Bob?